everything. With everything, we will shout forth your praise. Lord, not with our voices only, but with our lives, God. Lord, that we would love each other as you loved us. So that the world will know that you sent your Son. Lord, help us to live that. Help us to live that with all our heart and with everything. Not just words, God, but thought and deed and action. That's what our heart is, God. To serve you. To live as your people in this earth. To live as your body. Lord, to love deeply. To care heartily, God, with our whole hearts. Lord, I just thank you for being here, that you're Jehovah Shema, that you're here, that you're present, that you care. Lord, and I just thank you that every need represented here this morning, God. Whether someone came in here feeling lonely, feeling afraid, feeling depressed, feeling, Lord, whatever psychological or whatever kind of mental state, Lord, they came in, we thank you that you're Jehovah Shalom, that you're our peace. Lord, that you are peace. Lord, and that you just flood each heart and each life this morning with your peace. God, I thank you that if there's someone here that came in here and they're worried because, Lord, they don't know how they're going to pay their bills this week or how they're going to get by or where they're going to get groceries, God, that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you're our provider, God. We just thank you that this morning as we are in this place with you, as we are drawing near to you, Lord, that you will be that, Lord, in our lives today. Lord, if there's someone here that's sick this morning, Lord, whether simple as a cold or whether it's complex or mental illness or cancer, God, that you are our healer, that you're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. So, Lord, we just thank you this morning. Lord, that you touch each life. Lord, that you flow through each one of our lives, through our mind, through our bodies. Lord, through everything, Lord, as we draw near. And that in drawing near to you, Lord, that we will be healed, that we will be touched, that we will be delivered and set free. Pray this in your name, Jesus. The name above every name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I hope all you winter people are happy this morning, because I'm not. Minus 22 when I left here this morning. It was like air freezing in my nose. Not good. Not cool at all. I'm just so happy the church is warm that we get to be together. As I said, you know, like it's not just a matter of doing the routine and coming to God's house and just like doing our duty for an hour or an hour and a half a week, but it's actually connecting with God and connecting with each other. God's called us together as a body to love each other, to care for each other. This is an honor that we get to gather together in this place on Sunday mornings and in different groups throughout the week. God gives us this honor. In other countries around the world, they don't have this honor. I remember when I was a kid, Mom used to say, you know what, eat your food. Because there's people starving somewhere else in the world. Well, apparently I eat my food. But the truth is, what she was trying to say was, you know what? Be thankful for the blessings you have. And we need to be thankful. There's people around this planet that for fear of death, for fear of torture, they can't gather together in a setting like this where they could just connect in a large group and be encouraged. But they would love to, but we get to. And we got to remember to say thanks to God for that. Need to remember, those of you that are going to lead a small group this session, today's the last day to get your forms in. We need them in, and so that the staff can prepare all the stuff we need to get it. So you know what's going on, all right? So get it in today, and if you don't get it in today, then next session is fine. We'll get you then. But get it in today if you're planning on doing it. Also, just for everybody who's interested in Super Bowl, there's a big town-wide church gathering together, kind of outreach Super Bowl party coming up at on February 7th at the Dunville Arena upstairs. It'll probably be the Jets against somebody. But anyway, what are you laughing about? Anyway, so just remember that. A couple weeks ago, I started this series called I Am. And we're talking about God and his covenant name. And God is, we talked about how the fact, we looked at the Titanic and how that one little key that was missing from the crow's nest so they couldn't get the binoculars out, couldn't see far enough ahead was maybe the problem why they crashed. And we know there's a lot of other things that happened, but that was one of the problems. And a lot of times us in our Christian life, we miss one little key. And because of that, we sometimes are heading for disaster and wreckage in our life. And God really wants us to know. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to have those keys. And I think one of the big keys that we have as Christians is to know God and His and who He is and His essence. As I was praying this morning and just thinking about, I've been studying up on the names of God and really just trying to understand, what do they mean in my everyday life? And so I've been thinking about it. And knowing who God is, in essence, in character, helps us to know what we can expect. So I know that God is healer, and I know I can expect Him to come and touch my body and heal me. Not because, just because God heals, but because He is healer. So we've been talking about the covenant name of God, and we just, I'm just going to review for those of you that weren't here. But there's this whole story where God reveals Himself to Moses. Moses had had tried to murder an Egyptian, and he was out in the desert keeping sheep, and he saw this bush that was on fire but never burned up, and he went there to look. And God said to him, I've seen the distress of my people. I've heard their cries, and I've called you to be their deliverer. And he's like, well, I can't. I stutter. And God's saying, you can. You could do this. And he came up with all these excuses like we do. And God said, you can do it. You can do it. I've called you. I've called you, Moses. And you're going to go. And so Moses finally said, okay, I'll go. But if I'm going, I need to know who you are. I need to know your name. He was, when he was talking about that, he wasn't saying like, I'm Moses, what's your name? He was saying, I need to know in essence who you are. Because back in those days, they didn't name you Ralph just because your dad was Ralph and because your great uncle was Ralph and there was a bunch of other Ralphs in your line. But they named you with a thought or a calling in mind. And your name spoke of your essence and your character. And so he was saying to God, God, what kind of God are you? Who are you? What is it that you're all about? And this is what God said to Moses. In Exodus 3, verse 14 and 15, God said to Moses, I am that I am. He said, so you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God said to Moses again, you shall say this to the sons of Israel, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title from generation to generation. So when Moses was asking God what his name was, he was asking what his essence was or what his character was. He was saying, are you like earth God or are you moon God? Or are you God of war? Are you the God of love? What God are you? And their thinking at that time was there was all these little gods that all the nations served. And he just wanted to know which one he was talking to. And God was saying, I am. I am God of the sun. I am God of the moon. I am God of the earth. I am God of love. I'm God of war. I'm God. I'm all that, plus a lot more. I'm more than you will ever need and more than you'll ever imagine. It says in the New Testament, now to him who's able to do exceedingly above everything we ask or imagine. This is God is huge. God is so much bigger than we could ever imagine. God said, I am. I am that plus a lot. And there are some implications that come because God said, I am. The first one, and this might be repetitive, but I think it's really important for us to realize what these mean. I am, first of all, means that you can't put God in a box. You can't ever say, God is this, and that's what he is. God is just earth God, or God is just God of healing, or God is just God of provision, or God of peace. He isn't just that. He's all that plus more. So when you say, God, I'm troubled. I feel uptight. I feel nervous. I feel scared. Can you help me? He says, I am peace. The word Jehovah means I am. And the word Shalom means peace. I am peace. I am peace. I can help you because I am that. I'm not just finding that somewhere and giving it to you. I am that. When you say, God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this week. I don't know how I'm going to get by. I'm just, my finances are a wreck. I just lost my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. You the kind of God that can help me? He says, yeah, I'm Jireh. I'm provider. I'm that. I'm all that. Plus, I can do exceedingly above what you ask or think. When you say, God, like I just went to the doctor. I got a bad report. Are you the kind of God that heals? He says, I am. Rapha, I am a healer. I am that. So the first thing is we can't put God in a box. God is much too big to put in a box. He's amazing and huge. The second implication is that God is more than a force. He's actually a person, and he wants to relate to us. Many people who don't go to church anymore and have sort of given up on church or organized religion would still say, in a lot of ways, that they're spiritual people. And if you actually cornered them and got to talk to them and tried to pry it out of them, they would tell you that their perception of God is that God is a life force or a force or a cosmic force. And in our world today, there's so much of that. There's so much of that new age kind of thinking that God is just this force. And when we're born, we come out of the force. And when we die, we go back into the force and we just can tune into the force. And it's sort of like Luke Skywalker and Yoda. And it's like, Luke, the force is with you. God is bigger than a force. God is a force. He's powerful. He's all might, all strength. But he's much more than a force. He's relational. He cares about you and your everyday life. He cares that you went through struggles this week. He cares that you're having a struggle with your bank account. He cares that you and your wife or you and your husband aren't getting along. He cares that you have a child that's out there running somewhere. He cares about all that. Jesus, when he walked the earth, he related to God as his Father. So God is much more than a force. The third implication is that all the blessings we experience are a byproduct of our relationship with God, because God doesn't just give or doesn't just do this or do that, but that God is, then as we draw near to God in our relationship with him, all that stuff starts to come into our lives. All that being with God and being near God, it's because God is love. Then when we're near him, we experience his love. When we know that God is peace and we stay close to God, we sing in that song, take me to that place, to that secret place where I could be with you, where you could make me like you. That's what actually happens when we draw near to God. We become more and more like him. And that's so important for us to remember, that God isn't just like this God that's running a warehouse and pulling things off the shelf. That pray and, well, you know what, I need money. So God goes to the shelf, grabs money and throws it. No, God is provider. As you stay near to him, he provides. When you're looking for peace, God isn't searching around trying to find somebody that may be peaceful and send them to you to help you. But God is peace. And we just need to know that if we want to know God and we want to experience God and experience peace and love and provision and all those things, we just got to draw near to him. So far we've talked about just some of the compound names of God. We talked about Jehovah Shammah. And I think this is the most important name, because As Moses said, God, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. If your presence is not with us, Lord, I don't want to be there. I want you to be with us. And if we look at every other compound name of God, it's always revealing God as Jehovah Shammah, God present, God there. Because as we draw near to him in relationship, all these other things about him are revealed. So God is with us. Even this morning as we're sitting here, if you just quiet your heart and just let God touch you, you'll experience Jehovah Shammah, God present here in our life today. And there's times where we experience that, where it seems like the skin between heaven and earth is so thin that it's just like angels are just, and God is here. And those are awesome times. And we can experience those times if we'll spend time with God. And when we do that, God will bring all this stuff that we desire. It'll just flow out of relationship. My kids, they don't have to ask me for things. It just comes to them. It just flows out of me toward them because I love them and because I'm close to them. And I know what they need. I know what they desire. I know when my son is down and I just need to put my arms around him and tell him it's going to be okay. It's I love you. It's all right. I know when they're really just excited about, you know, some kind of technology or some new sport thing. And they just really desire that. And I try my hardest to find a way to give it to them. You know, and it's what happens when we're in relationship with God. Don't worry about it. Just stay in relationship. And then last week we talked about Jehovah Nissi, our banner and our victory, that we've already won the victory, that God has already won it. We just need to stand in that victory and allow God to be our banner. Well, today I want to talk about Jehovah Shalom, our peace. And the first time he really revealed himself in that way was in Judges chapter 6. And he was talking to Gideon. We know, a lot of us know the story of Gideon. Gideon's like hiding. He's hiding and he's threshing wheat in a wine press. And he's hiding from the Midianites because they are torturing them. They're stealing everything. Everything that's loose, they're stealing. They're just abusing Israel and taking advantage of them. And he's hiding, and God turns up and says, Gideon, mighty man. And Gideon's going, who? What? Me? I'm not mighty. I'm a loser. I'm like the lowest of the low, and I'm the weakest of the weak. And I don't know who you're talking to, but you got the wrong address. And God just convinces him again. Isn't it funny how whenever God starts speaking to us about who we are, most of us will say, no, that ain't me, because we don't see it. But God sees us the way he created us. He sees us that way. And Gideon went through this whole thing with God, and we're gonna backtrack into that. But in the end of it, he says in Judges chapter 6, verse 22 to 24, and when Gideon saw that he was the angel of Jehovah, this angel, usually whenever the Bible says the angel of God, the angel of Jehovah, or if you see in the Old Testament written in capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's a Bible scholars believe it's a pre-incarnate revelation of Jesus, before Jesus actually became flesh and dwelt among us. So this, the angel of the Lord, was probably Jesus being manifest to Gideon. And Gideon, it says, and Jehovah said to him, peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to Jehovah and called it Jehovah Shalom. It is yet in Ophrah of the Abizrites to this day. I love that God first revealed himself as Jehovah Shalom in a time where it was full of war, full of struggle, full of all these things. Because that's the kind of world we live in today. I love that that God did it in a time of great fear and war. Since the beginning of recorded history, around 3,500 years, historians say that only 8% of that time was the world ever at peace. Out of 3,500 years, only 8% of that time was the world ever at peace. And our world today is insane. The world has changed so much. When I was a kid and we lived on the farm, the bush was maybe a mile back from the house, and we could go stomping around in the bush all day, and the only thing our parents had to worry about is that we would get lost. Back in 1977, when Christine was in kindergarten, she could walk to school by herself. Now, if you see a 5-year-old walking to school by themselves, you wonder, what kind of parents are there? What kind of parents do they have? They're going to start checking our underpants now when we fly, because they're afraid of bombs and terrorism. We live in that kind of world, that everything is going crazy. And it was in that kind of world that God revealed himself to Gideon as Jehovah Shalom. Here's the thing I want to emphasize again. God is the God that speaks, and things that never existed are created. So when God said to Gideon, I am peace, it didn't seem like peace. Just like when we said God is victory, sometimes it doesn't seem like victory, but God speaks and things that never existed are called into being. He's the God that already completed the work, is waiting to see us lay hold of it and drag it into our lives. God's word is for us. We need to stay in relationship with him. When I think of peace, I think, this is my idea of peace, sitting on Manitoulin Island, around a campfire with some friends, just shooting the breeze and just enjoying life and having nothing to worry about. And if God was going to reveal himself as Jehovah Shalom, it would make sense to me that he would reveal himself in that place, in that time. But that's not how God chose to do it. God didn't choose to reveal himself like that. But let's take a look at Gideon, and then we can sort of understand how God will reveal himself to us as our peace. The first thing is that God often speaks into our destiny instead of into our reality. Don't you hate that? When you're going through a struggle and you're going through hard times and you're afraid and you're already worried about things, and God's putting things in your heart that are bigger than the dreams you're already dreaming sometimes. And it's like, well, God, I can't even make it here. What are you talking to me about that for? But God speaks into that. And this is what the Bible says in Judges 6:11. And the angel of Jehovah came and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of Jehovah appeared to him and said to him, Jehovah is with you, mighty warrior. Again, let's not just flip over this really quickly. Think about it. You're already hiding. You're already a freaky cat. You're already nervous. You're scared of what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, an angel turns up. And angels aren't like the precious moment angels. They're like warrior angels. This is like when John talked about Jesus, the warrior in Revelations, he said, I fell on my face as though dead. Well, Gideon's already skitterish, and all of a sudden there's an angel. And the angel says, you mighty man of valor. Well, they're going to have to check more for his underpants than just bombs, because he's like scared, and he's saying like, what are you talking about? Like, this is, you don't know me. I'm not brave. I'm not mighty. I am a loser. I'm hiding here. Don't you get it? And God was saying, no, you're a mighty warrior, because God doesn't see us as we see us. He sees us as he created us to be. And we all have bumps and bruises and scrapes, and we've all been beaten up by life. But that doesn't mean that God's plan for you is not there in effect. That God doesn't see a different picture than what you see. Here's the thing. God is interested in your progress. He wants you to keep growing and keep becoming who he's called you to be. He doesn't want you to stay comfortable and just doing nothing for a long time. He wants you to just move ahead and keep progressing. You know, my kids would say to me, you know what? I've got grade 7 now. What do I need school for? I could read. I could write. School's a waste of time. And we know as adults that there's a lot more to it than when they know in grade 7, right? Well, there's a lot more to life than any of us know today. Even people like Harold, who have been on the planet for, you know, over 80 years, and they still have something to learn. We all have something to learn, and God wants us to keep growing. I don't know about you, but as a man, there's nothing that causes me more stress than when I feel like I'm hiding. Like there's a problem that I don't know how to solve, and I'm hiding from it. That I'm doing something that is totally redundant, totally an exercise in futility, like Gideon was doing. Gideon was hiding in a wine press, which is sort of like a depression in the ground, and he's threshing wheat. So they beat it with a stick, and then they throw it in the air, and the wind's supposed to take the husk away until the grain is clear. But there's no wind. There's no nothing. He's just beating and doing the same old thing he's always done and getting the same old result he's always gotten. And that, to me, if there's something that will cause me to not have peace, it's when there's a situation I'm in and I don't know what to do about it. When I see someone I love struggling and I can't do anything to help them. And God came to Gideon and said, you're not stuck here. This is not where you're stuck. You're a mighty man. And he started calling him out. Jesus shows up on the scene and basically reframes his life. He takes him and says, look, this is where you are. Yes, I see you're hiding. You're scared. You know, I just about gave you a heart attack when I showed up here. But this is what I see you as. So maybe you see this, but this is the true picture of your life. And I think that today, there's a lot of us that are sitting in this room that God's trying to reframe our life. That God's trying to say to us, yeah, there's some things going on that are hard. There's some things that you're struggling with. There's some things that we're worried about. But this is the picture I see. And God is calling to some of you and saying, come up to this level. Come up here. You're a mighty warrior. And we're saying, like, I can't. We're making excuses, and we're hiding, or we're ignoring God. But God wants you to know today that you're a mighty warrior, that you could do what he's called you to do. So if God's speaking to you today about something in your life, if God's trying to reframe your world and say, that's not who you really are, this is who you really are, then start walking into that. Start stepping out into who he's called you to be. The second thing I think that really is revealed here is that the peace you're looking for is not found in the answers to your questions. I think a lot of times we get stuck in life because we're asking the question, why? God, why is this happening to me? God, why is this going on? Why does it seem like I'm praying and you're not answering? God, Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do innocent people are persecuted and brought under distress by evil people? Why does this happen? And we're asking all these questions. And these are the same kind of questions that Gideon was asking God. In verse 13 and 14, it says, Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if Jehovah is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, 'Did not Jehovah bring us up from Egypt?' But now Jehovah has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And Jehovah looked upon him and said, "Go in your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" Again, there's God, right? As Jehovah Shema. "Am I not going to go with you? I will be with you. Have I not sent you?" And here he was saying, "Why is this happening to us, God? Why?" And a lot of times we know there are sometimes bad things happen to us and there's no reason for it. But there are some times when bad things are happening to us that we know why they're happening. When Gideon was asking this question, if we look at the history of Israel, Israel would be all hot for God in one generation. They'd turn to God, and then the next generation would be a little bit cooler, and then they'd be serving idols, and then they're asking God, "Why do you allow this to happen?" And then they turn to God again. But there are some times in our life where just bad things happen. We live in a sinful world. There's things that happen that we don't know the answer to. And Gideon was saying, "You used to help us, but now not only are you not helping us, it seems like you've abandoned us and even maybe taken sides with the Midianites. As I said, I think there's a lot of philosophical questions we'd all like to ask God someday. God, why did this happen? God, why? And the truth is, there's a lot of times that we think the answer will help us, but the answer doesn't help. Because here's what God did with Gideon. He actually ignored the question. Gideon's asking why, and God said and looked at him and said, Go in your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Sometimes the answer is just in the going, and just in doing, and just stop thinking about why and move on beyond the why. I know there's a lot of times, if you've raised kids, you know this. Kids want to know why. And sometimes you can give a good explanation why, and there's other times where they just don't understand the explanation. And you could talk until you're blue in the face, and it doesn't change anything. It doesn't bring more peace to your house. It doesn't bring more peace to your life. They just keep going and going. And we are like that with God a lot of times. Sometimes there's just not an answer that needs to be given. Sometimes we just have to say, "God, I trust you. God, I know whom I have believed, and I know and am persuaded that you're able to keep me." And we have to say, "I'm going to put the questions aside, and I'm just going to serve God and trust God and love God and stay close to God." That's not easy, but I think it will help us. It helped Gideon. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is where peace is found. And peace is found in the presence of the Lord. In Judges chapter 6, verse 15 to 24, it's a bit of a long piece. I'm going to read through it. "And he said to him, 'O my Lord, with what shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And Jehovah said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.' And he said, and Gideon said to him, 'If now I have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that you talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring forth my food offering and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will start until you come again.' And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and an unleavened cake of an ephah of flour. He put the flesh in a basket and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out to him to the oak and offered it. And the angel of God said to him, 'Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay on this rock and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of Jehovah put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rocks." That's a good trick. Like, that's amazing. Again, God is powerful, and God reveals himself in his power. And he's revealing himself to Gideon. And fire out of the rock and burned up the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of Jehovah went away out of his sight. And when Gideon saw that miracle, he saw what the angel had done, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, because I have seen the angel of Jehovah face to face. And Jehovah said to him, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to Jehovah and called it Jehovah Shalom. It is in Ophrah of the Abizrites to this day. When Gideon realized who the angel was, when Gideon realized that he was in the presence of God, that he had fellowship with God, that he had spent this time with God, he was flooded with peace. He was filled with peace. A lot of times we're looking for peace everywhere. We're looking for peace in our jobs. We're looking for peace in our relationships. We're looking for peace just about anywhere we can find. We need a hall. Oh, I need, God, if I could just have a holiday, I know I'd find peace there. God, if I could just, you know, have more money, that would give me peace. Or if I could just, you know, have my family back there, that would bring me peace. But the truth is, none of those things will bring you the peace that you need. The peace that you need is found in relationship with God. There's no shortcut to this. It's no, like, one easy step. It is a lifetime lived with God. It's spending time every day in His Word. It's carving time out of your day to spend with Him. And maybe just sometimes just to be quiet, be still, and know that He is God. Let Him reveal Himself to you. It's in speaking to Him. It's talking to Him. It's knowing Him and being known by Him. And when you come into that place, you find peace. That's where Gideon found it. He found it in knowing God and being with God. And that's how we're going to find peace. Because God is not taking peace off a shelf somewhere. He is peace. And for us to experience His peace, we need to be near to Him. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it's not the kind of peace that I find on Manitoulin Island sitting around a campfire, because that's a peace I understand. It's a peace that even though everything in the world is screaming out there's no peace, that in knowing God, there's peace. Even in situations where everything around you is falling down and you experience peace, that's the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's just, it's not understandable. You know what? I'm in a bad spot here. I'm, you know, like I sat with Trudy last year when she had cancer and she was peaceful. She was said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to meet God. I want to go be there now. It was a peace that was not understandable. You know, I've seen people in the middle of just huge struggles. I remember even, like I said, when we were talking a couple weeks ago, that after Dad died and I was coming back on the airplane, it just sets the peace of God in my life. It was not a peace that that could be understood. And today, if you're all messed up and your guts are all twisted and you're just scared and nervous and uptight, I just challenge you today to spend some time with God. Spend some time with Him and let His peace, let Him saturate your life. Let Him fill your life so that you can experience the peace that passes all understanding. And Colossians 3 verse 15 in closing says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also are called in one body, and be thankful. Let's pray. Dear God, I just come to you this morning and thank you so much that I can have a relationship with you, Lord, that we as your people can relate with you and to you, Lord, that we can be known by you and we can know you. So, Lord, today I just pray that as we've talked about your name, your covenant name, Jehovah Shalom, I am peace, Lord, that each one of us would come to know you in that way. Lord, I just pray for the person this morning that's here and that's struggling, Lord, in their mind. Lord, maybe just worried about things that really do matter, maybe just worrying about things that might never happen. But whatever it is, Lord, that this morning they'll know you as their peace. Lord, and I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you've never met the Lord, if you've never really come into a relationship with God, The Bible says that God is this friend that sticks closer than a brother. We've been talking a lot today about relationship with God and connecting with God and being with God. And that's what God wants. He wants to be with you. He wants to be your God. He wants you to be his people. And this morning, he's made an open invitation. He's prepared a way. We sang about Jesus and the cross and how that Jesus came to earth and gave his life so that we could know God, so that we could have our sins forgiven, that we could turn our lives toward him, and that we could know him forever. So this morning, I just want to make this opportunity available to you. The Bible said if we speak with our mouth and we believe in our heart that we will be saved. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we can be saved. And life changes when you meet Jesus because not everything becomes good. We've talked about Christian struggles and Christian problems and all this stuff today, but we know that when we give our heart to Jesus, now we belong to the family of God, that Jesus is with us, that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us, that he'll always be there, be our peace, he'll be our supply, he'll be our friend, he'll be all those things that we need in life. And we're going to pray a prayer, and if you pray this prayer with your mouth and believe it with your heart, your life's going to change. This moment's going to be a defining moment in your life because you're going to get connected to the God who created you and bought you back through the blood of his son, Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I ask you today to come into my heart. Today I repent. Today I turn around from the life I've been living. And I'm going to walk toward you. Cleanse me from my sin. Make me new. Pray that you'll help me from today and on to live like you want me to live and to be free. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time this morning, please come and talk to me after the service. Really love to just spend a couple minutes with you and just give you some literature. After we're done singing this next song, if you'd like, there's coffee and stuff out in the cafe. Stick around, enjoy each other's company, and just connect, all right?